coming out and the importance of being in life and what you're saying, and that is the process. I want to improve the quality of my life. I want to become aware. I want to accept, and I'm willing to adjust to alternate behaviors, loving and feeling loved. I am capable of being happy if only I would give myself permission. I am where I have been on my way to, and I'm blissfully grateful.
You two wrote this, or?
We put it together. The last part, I am where I have been on my way to, and I'm blissfully grateful, is from a friend of mine who's now living on Big Sur, and she's blissfully grateful.
Blissfully grateful, she's up there.
My feeling when I hear the type of question you've just presented, it can come from two places. Accept myself the way I am. I mean, I'm this, 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 and this.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, oh, I accept myself the way I am. I mean, everything is terrific with me.
Right.
The bottom line to both of those behaviors of those people in our lives is that, is there an honesty about it? Is there a denial? Is there a resistance? Is there, I'm not going to tell you who I am. I'm too scared about how you're going to react towards me. So I'm going to keep me a secret from you. When we talk about accepting ourselves, we're talking from a space of, I accept myself in this here and now, who I am, and still I want to grow.
So you're talking more or less about if a person realizes and is clear about where they are at the moment, and they know they're going through a process, then it's more honest? Is that what you're saying?
The point I am making...
Less egomaniacal, is it?
Is that to beat yourself, to say, how dare I be the person I am, whether it be the lesbian, or whether it be the teacher, or whether it be anything that identifies you. If you in no way are identifying yourself as a loving human being, a creative human being, a zestful human being, it is my belief that stuff is blocking you from believing this about yourself. And the playing out of the disbelief that you are this total decent human being is what we work on. In a safe environment, in a place that says, hey, if you can, this might be the place you can cry. If you can, this might be the place you can shake and show us that you're scared. Show yourself that you're scared. It's an okay place to be with the acknowledgement that that place, when looked at, when released, can be so healing.
Well, then where does self-esteem come from? Are we born with it? Does it come out of the air someplace? Who tells us that we are held in esteem? I mean, where does it come from exactly?
Words have been created to define us. If in fact we were given, by virtue of the parenting that we had, the institutions that we have, the freedom to just be, self-esteem would not even be needed to define us. We would just have it. We would just play that out. We wouldn't need workshops. We wouldn't need definitions of self. The only self that would be acknowledged is the person in front of me. The fact that we label ourselves by the names that we have, that's an issue unto itself. But we've also labeled people by the dress they have, by the... This need not be. Self-esteem is innate in us. It is the messages received in the growing up process that kind of diminish this good feeling about ourselves, such as the process of the simplicity of crying, and it's simple to cry. It is innate in every baby to cry. And if that crying is interfered with and there's an interruption to it, because you're of a certain age and you're in the view of that adult world, you're too old to cry, or I'll give you something to cry about, then that process of release and relief and discharge is stopped. And so much of the work is in the adult world now.
Okay, you had said at another time before we got on the air that there was something called tapes from... You have a workshop called The Child in Us, okay, and it sounds to me like all of this stuff that we're not feeling about ourselves, or we are feeling about ourselves, doesn't sound as if it's really coming from the world we know at the moment in time as we're sitting here, I suppose, but that it came from another place, another time, another space, another perception, and that whenever we get into any situation, X, A, B, C, whatever it happens to be, something, the needle goes down on the record or the tape is played, and we are reacting out of context. This is what I'm hearing, that we're reacting out of context with the situation that is occurring. But it seems to me that those situations are occurring. I mean, someone is doing something or saying something or hitting you or whatever at that moment. Now, what I hear is that it's from some other place that the person's not doing it. Is that what I'm listening to here?
Okay. It's a restimulation of the past experience.
Okay, a restimulation.
Yes.
Okay.
Of the past experience, it sounds and smells and tastes similarly in our minds,
right?
And so we respond similarly in order to protect ourselves. And even though we may be adults in an adult body, we respond as children.
As children. Okay.
As children.
All right.
In the here and now, when in fact I would be hit, if my reaction as a child to that hitting was to cringe, was not to say, hey, stop what you're doing. You can't get away with that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be the husband-wife situation or the two-women situation where there might be violence. If the used-to situation I come from, if I'm reacted in the same way, if I'm re-stimulated in the same way, I will play it out the same way. I will either... I mean, there's 101 different moves I might make, and the calls that might come in might say, well, I'm in this category, and I'm in this category, and I'm in this category.
Yeah, but if you are indeed, that sounds as if every reaction, I don't know about the actions, but every reaction is a child reaction from your past, whereas if you say to the person who hit you or scold you or whatever it is, you know, I don't do that. I won't take that from you. Doesn't sound like a child.
No.
It sounds someplace else that, you know, if you cringe or you cry or you run away or you, I don't know what else you may do, does that sound like a child more than the other?
No. In either case, if it is a rigid behavior that I have always played out in the past, the term that's used for that is a pattern. If all I know to do is to feel a certain way about myself, think a certain way, behave in a certain way, that's called a pattern, okay? So when in fact the pattern, by virtue of somebody viewing the pattern, might say, oh, that's a wonderful pattern. Look how good she is. Or that's a terrible pattern. She does A, B, and C. In either case, it is rigid. It is without living in the here and now. And that's the key to really say, am I really viewing the situation? Am I really viewing the person in a clean, fresh, and new way? Or, hey, you know, she really reminds me of my sister. She really sets me off by the way she walks because of A, B, and C about her, which in many cases relates back to the whens.
So you're not really reacting to the person. You're saying that you're not seeing that person.
No.
Because you're not seeing that person because you're reacting in a... Suppose you reacted, let's say, to... Some something of that type in different ways, with different circumstances. One time you say, don't do that, never again. Another time you hang up on them. Another time you cry. I mean, is it better to be flexible in that thing? Or
the
what?
Reaction that you use is to get the result of being loved and accepted.
Run that by me again.
Sometimes you may say, don't say anything. I don't like when you're saying that to me, because suddenly you're in a space of, you're here, you should be respected. Okay. You heard it from somebody who said, you should be respected. Therefore, you'll say to someone, don't talk to me that way.
Okay.
Because you may know that they're vulnerable when you say to them, don't talk to me that way.
Uh-huh.
At other times, you may be very polite because you know that person is more powerful. Mm-hmm. And you know that you worked with Daddy in many ways when you were very polite and you got what you wanted.
So all but your reactions are then tinged with some kind of playoff, contractual.
And the payoff that we usually need is to be loved, to be okay, to hear it from the outside say, you're okay.
Well, what is this thing to be loved? What, unconditionally, without any restrictions? What? How can you love everybody unconditionally? I mean, that's really a difficult place to be.
When we use the term unconditional love, we are talking about love not being used as a tool, not being on a scale of, if you behave a certain way, I will give it out, my love out flowingly and without any restrictions. If you behave in another way, I'm going to take back this love. Love is not a tool to be used as a controlling, manipulating factor.
Well, everybody uses it that way, especially parents, don't they?
Yes. Now, the especially is the issue that I have about the word especially. I'm also saying especially me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking responsibility that I also come from a space of using it. And that's one of the key things I may focus in on, because I'm allowing myself to be honest enough to say, quit it.
We have a call. Let's see what this call is going to be. WBAI, you're on the air.
Oh, wow. This is Eileen.
Yes, hello.
I just want to say to Ruthie and Connie that I love them very much.
Unconditionally?
Unconditionally. They're okay. My mothers, and I accept them however they are.
Okay, fine. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Right. I thought you wanted to say something more. Well, you're loved unconditionally.
That's Connie's daughter, by the way.
Oh, that's good. How can I love you? You said this to me. It's like mothers or fathers to all kinds of people who say to children, I've seen it on the street, it's probably said to me, if you keep crying, how can I love you if you cry? I mean, there's all kinds of little tests and things that we do.
Yes, you're assuming that mother and father means adult.
Well,
also coming from a child place of saying you're a mother now and you're a father and they better listen to you, because how they turn out reflects your mothering and fathering. And so they use the tools that they learned. It doesn't work. Language.
The tools they learned by having it done to them and then they pass it on?
Or having it done to them, I'm going to do it a different way. I'm going to tell my kids I love them and they're terrific and they're wonderful. And they don't know really what wonderful really means, what terrific really means.
Mm. Do we know what love really means? We're using that word a lot, love, unconditional love. Love, hate, dislike, whatever.
But
that's an action, isn't it, love? Or is it a feeling?
It's in everything.
Yes, I know.
It's in everything.
It's a feeling and then you act.
To make it simple so that we don't get bogged down with the word.
Right.
Love is the opposite of fear.
They say love is the opposite of hate. You're saying love is the opposite of fear.
Love is the opposite of fear.
Good. Okay. Let's get this call. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi, I have two questions for Connie and Ruth.
Yes.
The first one is, I was wondering if they've ever done the EFT training.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that they're saying relates back to what I was trained in and EFT, except that it sounds a lot more confusing
when I'm hearing them talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you a secret. I hear in what they're saying my Buddhist philosophy.
Do you?
Yes, very much. So it has a lot of pieces in it. You want to answer her?
Everybody asks us whether we took S training. I didn't take it. Did you take it, Connie?
No, I didn't take it either.
Okay.
And then my second question is this.
Yes.
I came out about a year ago, and I'm having a problem now because I was married, and I was involved with men to a great degree in a heterosexual way. How do you relate, or is it normal to have a problem with men? Okay, like once you've come out, okay, and they really don't know that you're gay or straight or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And then there's this person sitting across from you that's finding you highly attractive or whatever, and you don't want to turn them off because they're good people. You want them in your life. It's not that you don't want them in your life, but maybe you're not choosing. All right, I think I'm setting myself up here.
No, you're not. Go ahead.
Okay,
sorry.
Maybe you're not choosing to share that kind of information with them yet. I just find it very difficult to relate to them, and I'm finding that there's a guilt involved also. Within myself for it. Like, I don't like myself because I don't know how to relate to myself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You already answered the question in making the statement that you'd like to say to them, I'm not prepared to relate to you in the way that you want me to, but I'd still like us to be friends. That's simple. Simple statement. In fact, you can write it down, keep it in your pocketbook or in your pants pocket or in the shirt pocket, however you like. And when you're feeling this guilt and this uncomfortableness, take it out, read it, put it down, and then repeat it to the person that you want to share it with.
That easy, huh?
Does
that
you don't have to tell them
that
you're
easy.
A lesbian or, you know,
you don't have to tell them. Just
you can't relate to everybody.
What you're really telling them is I want to relate to you, not the way you seem to want to. And could we be friends? That's honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
All right?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I got a lot of pieces of paper all over.
I know, it's very difficult for people to do that. I wonder why it's so hard. Is there like a reward they might get if they don't say it?
It's again the fear and the love. They're afraid of not being loved. Because, and we'll go back to the self-esteem. Self-esteem, we have it. Connie shared how we lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the words that people use towards us that give us the perceptions of ourselves, of our self-esteem. And when we hear those words again, we say, I'm not getting my self-esteem and I'm not getting my love. Then I'm not going to take the risk of sharing me with that person.
You know, when I hear feedback from people, I have a choice. I heard a sentence before mm-hmm. from someone. What they are saying is confusing. That was the sentence. Now I can go many ways. The two ways that come up front for me is, I'm not clear. Oh God, I wasn't clear. The other is, maybe I am clear, and that's how the person is receiving the information. It's up to me where I want to put myself. Do I want to put myself in a place of being uncomfortable? Or can I really say to myself and justify myself and say, you know, I am clear. And each of us must take responsibility for the receiving and the reception that we have and the clarity that we have.
Well, if a person is knows that they're clear and then starts to wonder if they are and have doubts, it must have been someplace else that some group of people, when they were more vulnerable, say as a child or whatever that is, who made them believe in some way that they were never clear.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible? And then they grow up feeling one part of them says, well, I'm so clear. I mean, it's really, there are some people who understand everything I say. And there's a whole group of people that just doesn't understand anything I say. And why does that make you balance this thing that you feel of unclarity at times? Why do you juggle it? Is there a reason for this?
Again, that feeling of the similar situation of childhood, the behavior pattern that comes into play, and the fact that Sure, I'd like to believe that I'm sure about myself. When I, who have dealt with the feelings of feeling inadequate, am very clear about it, Rose. I mean, I'm clear about it, and I'm also not clear about it when, in fact, the button is pushed on me. What I am doing right now is not spending, nor do I need to spend, the amount of time on clearing away the garbage as I did previously.
There's another point I just realized. What difference does it make if you're not clear? What really is irrelevant, isn't it, sometimes? Unless you really need that person or I don't know.
I learned as a teacher, I had to teach classes, give them information, and I was observed by my chairperson, and I got a whole list of things that I needed to do. And what I learned was if there were 30 or 50 students in the class, they all perceived me in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
They all received that information in a different way. And if I was going to try to be clear to everybody, I'd be very crazy.
I know. It's very, very difficult. By the way, I'm going to be very clear right now. We're running out of time. So I do want you to say about your workshops, where they are, what phone number you can use.
Right. Yeah. Ruthie and I do every other Friday, and we're asking people if they are interested to really clear out the dates of those every other Fridays because of the summer schedule. And we do issues of intimacy, the child within us, relationship. We do private counseling. We've done... we also do a Saturday, all-day Saturday workshops, which we will resume in the fall. And just to reiterate about co-counseling, in the fall there will be classes, fundamental classes and ongoing classes for women. It is open to women of all color, shape, size. You are
what
invited.
What is the phone number?
998-2305. For Connie and Ruthie to give you the feedback of the information. We also ask if there are any organizations that have been, we hope, stimulated by what went on this evening. Would they please contact us? We would like to share what this is all about with groups.
I would like to share something else, which is very important to WBAI, has to do with pledges. If you liked the show tonight and you would like to support the Lesbian Radio programs and you liked other shows of Lesbian Radio programs, you can call in your pledges this evening, $20, $35, they're all tax deductible, and you can call 279-3407 for your pledges. Please do so as soon as you can. Thank you, Connie and Ruth, for being here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. To just tell you that 212 is the area code.
Sometimes the air. previous program was brought to you live over listener-supported radio, WBAI, in New York. Time is now 9 o'clock.